May the Lord favor us with his presence here. Help us to sing with the heart, hymn number 1080. 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Hymn 1080.
Oh. read together from the most holy word of God, two portions. First, Psalm 130, and then turning to Isaiah's prophecy and reading chapter 61. But firstly, Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Then turning to Isaiah's prophecy in the 61st chapter. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us those portions of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, O do be pleased now to solemnize our hearts and minds, that we might rightly approach unto thee, whether we, as one, addresses thee audibly, or those before us in their silent petitions in the pew. But oh, to have that knowledge of who thou art, a thrice holy God, and that of who we are, sinners, sinners indeed, sinners in need. Oh, to know a little of that whereby, yes, it is made known unto us that we are amongst those, even as the apostle declared of himself, sinners of whom I am chief. But oh, how can such poor sinners approach unto thee? But oh, we thank thee for that new and living way, that which is through a risen Christ, an ascended Saviour, that one that truly did accomplish that in the room, place, and stead of his chosen people, his church, his bride. Ah, yea, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Ah, that one that truly did bear the sin of many. Oh, one that condescended there to be a man and die. All the just that suffer for the unjust, dying that we might live. Oh, we thank thee for it. And what a mercy, the grave could not hold thee. Ah, yes, raised again for our justification. But oh, when we think, when we read of that regarding thy death, or before thou didst bow thy head and give up the ghost, thou didst cry, it is finished, it is finished. And when thou didst bow thy head and give up the ghost, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Ah, yes, signalling and showing forth that new and living way, one that has now entered in there as our glorious High Priest. Yes, Jesus Christ himself, the God-man, entered in there, not without blood, but with his own heart's blood. And that is that way of access, that new and living way through the rent veil, in and through a precious Christ. And all doing over us then, we plead with that little faith given to us as poor sinners, that we may be able to plead for Jesus' sake. Plead thy worthy name, that name which is above every name, and all to venture by faith to plead that sin-atoning blood, or to plead the finished work. Oh, it is our only plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And what a mercy, even this day, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, we have no other plea but that. Thy blood was shed for me. Oh, we would then, may it please, it might be each one of us, found as venturing sinners. Oh, even to venture on thee, to venture wholly, to let no other trust intrude. Oh, to be found amongst those stripped of any fancied meetness of our own, any self-righteousness stripped from us. Oh, as a beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. But oh, to see by faith then one, the Lamb of God once slain, and to see by faith that precious blood, that sin-atoning blood, sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels of our heart. Oh, how we have need of that precious blood. When that avenging angel flew over and he saw the blood, there was safety. But where there was no blood, there was death. Oh, we have need of that precious blood. And so we come with those lines again this Sabbath morning. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, prepare us each for that day. We fast hasten on. Eternity is before us. And none of us know that day which thou hast appointed, when our time shall cease here below. Ah, sometimes short is the warning. Ah, yes, how solemn. And thou art sovereign. But all to be prepared for that day. Be prepared for that day when we shall have to appear before the judge of all the earth. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And all to be found then in that day, as a son or a daughter, by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. And all as thou hast enabled us and favoured us to gather in thy courts, perhaps not in the building that we were, they've been used to. But all we thank thee that thou art not confined to place or means or mode. Yes, we are thankful for the provisions of thy house. But thou knowest those things which need to be done. And there is that which is of necessity that we meet here. And is it not a provision in this way for this moment of time? And so may it please, we might lose the sight of where we are and see in another save Jesus only in our midst. Might lose sight of our surroundings and truly being able to worship thee in spirit and in truth. But all to remember the church and people here and all that is before them and that which they are undertaking. Lord, do grow before them, manage all by the way unto the end. But all, as we are unable to meet here, may it please thee then. We might have come up like those Greeks of old, with us, sir, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, yes, even with a living desire, a hunger and thirst after thee, and after thy righteousness. And so do look down upon us, and as we were thankful for the that we can gather in a building with that warmth and the comfort, and we would be thankful for that. But Lord, we plead, what is the house of God to me, unless the Master there I see? And so may we see a precious Christ. May we view thee, the Lamb of God, once slain. Oh, may we hear thy voice see thy smile, feel thy touch. Oh, may thy word even unto us this day be that bread of life sent down from heaven. Oh, break it unto us, we plead. May thy blessing rest upon thy word, and even as this poor one ventures to speak, it might be that word of the Lord, a word in season, a word which thou hast appointed, that shall not return unto thee void, but shall accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. Oh, we plead that it might be so. And so to remember each one that has gathered, and we think of the dear little ones, Lord, we thank thee for the sight of them and yes, the presence of them. But Lord, we plead that might be even that wrought in their heart whilst young in years, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. But oh, if it could please him whilst young in years, that filial fear, that which is through love. And so we seek thy blessing upon them, and that which thee is done in the Sabbath school. Oh, there might be that by the power of the Spirit wrought in their hearts through the labours of those that attend to these things. But, O Lord, remember parents as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And certainly in this dark and evil day where evil is called good and good is called evil, or do we happen to counter the vile things that are thrust upon the young, thrust upon the very young in our day, to counter them? Ah, Lord, how solemn is the day. Ah, certainly evil is called good and good is called evil. The law is slacked. Thy word, yes, and thy laws are trodden underfoot, disregarded. Man is, abomination is promoted. A man is encouraged in that way to live as he lists and do as he pleases and satisfy every lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Lord, we plead then, do remember parents in all this, and do remember those that are growing up and going on into life, and those that, yes, are younger, and they have those things which they have to and now attend to. And as they begin to, in that way, labour for the meat which perisheth, Lord, give them each that help as they venture in those paths which thou hast appointed for them. Or may they prove that thou art a helper of the helpless. Yes, I find at times there are many oppositions, those that are stirred up by Satan to say this or that unto them. Give them help in the time of temptation. Give them strength sufficient for the day. But, O Lord, go before them. May they be able to cast their cares and burdens upon thee. Or to seek thy help in all things. Seek thy face in all things. But to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and prove that all these other things shall be added unto you. Remember each then in the midst of life that bear the heat and burden of the day, whether it is a housewife and mother in the home, those in their studies, those in their workplaces and businesses. It's a day of many cares. And those in their retirements, it's a day of many cares. Things are overturned in a moment. We've proved it so. And we find suddenly there's a mountain rises up before us, and things hard to be understood. And oh, what a mercy when we prove. Ah, yes. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord heard and answered and delivered. Oh, and it is through these things, is it not? We prove the loving kindness of the Lord in those varied and various scenes of sorrow and trouble and affliction and difficulty, when we're brought to those places to cry unto thee, because we're brought to those into those spots and places where there's no help in ourselves. Such is the path, such is the trial, Such is the affliction, such is the difficulty. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, what a mercy when we prove there is a helper, one that is able to help and do for his people more than they can ask or even think. Then we prove, like the psalmist in Psalm 107, whoso is wise and observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So remember each in the midst of life with all its cares. Ah, yes, and we thank thee that thy word declares as regards Zion and that government, it rests upon thy shoulders. Ah, one that is king in Zion, Zion's king, and that government shall have no end. There shall be an increase of it. Oh, the wonder of it. And do we know us then cast all our cares and burdens upon thee and prove that, yes, thou dost govern all. Thou dost govern all. And thou wilt manage all by the way unto the end. Yes, we know our old nature thinks, well, these things are all cross and quite contrarious. Things seem to be like even as Jacob of old, against and not for us. Oh, that's our carnal reasoning. But oh, may we prove even like Jacob. Ah, yes, those blessings and those promises which are spoken unto him. At times, no doubt, in his troubles and sorrows, he thought, well, will they ever come to pass? Are they as nothing? But oh, the wagons came. Oh, the wagons came. And that those which he, and certainly one he thought was lost, was restored to him. Oh, may we prove then each one of us, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And to remember those in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, may they feel those everlasting arms underneath them. Oh, those everlasting arms of the God of Jeshurun, who has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Bring to their remembrance, oh, most gracious God, bring to their remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken to them. Bring to their remembrance all those Ebenezer stones. What mean ye by these stones? And all they may look back over life's path. Ah, yes, the twists and the turns as they've been led through this waste howling wilderness. Ah, they can see those various Ebenezer stones where the Lord had helped them and appeared for them. And may they be able to calm him like the hymn writer. He who hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. Do remember any in affliction. Lord, thou knowest those who are afflicted. Oh, do bless the means used for their good. Raise them up again if it could please. Sanctify it to them. Oh, may it be, yes, something which may truly be bitter to the flesh. Yes, our flesh doesn't like affliction. None of us like affliction. But oh, may we, yes, when we find that blessing in it, when the Lord is pleased to sanctify it to us, then we can say, it's good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. When we prove in the midst of that which is bitter to the flesh, something which is sweet to the soul, when in affliction's path, we prove there is a blessed comforter, a blessed comforter. Or when we prove in affliction's path, there is a one that, the friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. And so we plead for those in their afflictions, bless the means used for their good, for their comfort, for the easement of pain and those things which go along with that affliction. We're thankful for it oneself. Oh, we're thankful for it that thou dost give and thou hast given wisdom unto men to find out this and find out that. and that wisdom thou hast given unto them. There is that provision which thou hast created when thou didst create the earth. There is that provision of the materials, if we can put it in that way. And all we seek thy blessing upon it. We do not take these things as the world takes them, but we look to one, that great physician, and we seek thy blessing upon it. Do remember thy true church, and we think of the cause of truth here in the church here, but the little hills of Zion, and where thy word is faithfully preached. Oh, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Oh, to revive us, Lord, we plead, as a declension, a turning aside. Is it not seeking to broaden the way? But thy word declares it is straight. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But how many would seek to broaden that way if they could? We look at the Church of England, they broaden the way where it is now the highway that leads to the destruction. Oh, the solemnity of it. Oh, may we be found amongst those that ask after the old paths, and not amongst those that said, we will not, we will not. So we plead, keep us. But oh, may it please, we might yet see better days. Oh, better days in Zion. But Lord, we plead, thou knowest where thy dead elect are. Cause them to hear thy voice. We know that thou wilt. They shall hear my voice. And oh, cause and rent into thy courts with a living desire. Bring back the prodigals, those that are turned aside. Ah, yes, we think of one another. They've turned aside. Lord, thou canst put forth thy hand and bring them back, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we plead to have mercy upon us. And do be pleased then to remember the little gatherings. And we thank thee that thou hast said, where two or three gather together in my name, there thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, remember us also as a guilty land and nation. Oh, how vile we are. How vile we are. When we think back just a few years, we could never have envisaged that such things would be allowed by the law of the land, and that the law seems to go against those that speak the truth. Ah, the law is slacked. Evil is called good, and good is called evil. Oh, we plead then, may we ever be found amongst those that stand for the truth. And even as we stand up in thy name to preach the whole word of God, not to be one that hides a portion because he feels it may offend this one or that one. For thy word is must be declared. Must be declared. And so it will be a searching word, a dividing word between sheep and goats, between the righteous and the wicked, between the Jacobs and the Esaus. It will search. But Lord, we plead, have mercy upon this guilty land. Turn us once again, and we shall be turned. Remember those areas of conflict. And we think of the Ukraine still, and that which is still going on there. Lord, do yet bring peace there, not a false peace, but that peace which is right. Lord, remember thy people there, whatever side they're on, whatever country they come from, and we know there are some throughout all the nations of the earth. And Lord, remember thine ancient people. Ah, thine ancient people. All that which is even there. Lord, we plead, do remember them. And may there be, through even these things which are taking place, they might be brought to look upon the Messiah whom they've rejected. The Messiah whom they've rejected. They might truly see that thou hast come. Thou hast come. And so we plead that through these things, there might be both in those nations and the nations round about where there is conflict, but also in this nation. Ah, yes, brought to consider their latter end and cry unto thee for mercy. But oh, we thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours thou hast, even as regards this nation, thou hast not destroyed it. We deserve that destruction, like the cities of the plain. But there is a remnant. Oh, we need that stirring up. We might be found amongst that remnant that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. We believe thou hast heard, and thou hast spared. And thou hast spared unto us those things which, yes, even necessary for life, thou hast provided even this year, food for both man and beast. And we thank thee for it. And we see once again the goodly crops of the earth springing forth from the earth. Oh, that prospect, even if thou dost spare this guilty land into another year, there might be that prospect once again of food for both man and beast. But we thank thee for the promise which thou hast declared, and it shall be to the end of time. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat, shall not cease whilst the earth remaineth. Oh, we thank thee for it. And so we would return thanks unto thee for thy mercies and thy favours to us each. Ah, yes, those mercies and favours. Can we not say thy mercies have been and have been this morning, new every morning? Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, may we not let any of thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. But now we would seek to turn to thy word. Grant help to this poor one. And the language of the hymns, may thy blessing rest upon the language of the hymns. May it be perhaps that language that is found even in our own heart, our soul's experience, that experimental language. And some of us, and certainly this one that stands before the people, we know what it is to weep in the house of God under the language of the hymn. Come right where we were, touch the very spot. And so do be pleased to grant help in all parts of divine worship this day. Now we seek them for thy help. Pardon and forgive our many sins, our failings and our shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 947, 947. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? Hymn 947.
Yeah.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we'll turn to the prophecy of Isaiah and the 61st chapter. I'll read the first three verses, but the portion that was upon my mind is regarding those mourners. But we'll read the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. But oh, especially those to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We know that chapter speaks of Christ. Ah, yes, for the gospel came by, was it not, Christ? It was through Christ, through that which was appointed unto him appointed unto him in eternity past, to come and perform in this low world by the offering of himself as that a spotless lamb. But in that condescension, the one verily God, verily man, walked here upon the earth and likewise preached that concerning himself. And yes, that is also, is it not, appointed unto the Lord's servants as he sends them forth to preach this gospel, which is Christ. Christ should be revealed to them, their hope of glory. Ah, not to preach this or that, but to preach Christ unto sinners. Yes, we thought upon it, and my mind went in that way of meditation yesterday. And yes, we may be found in the house of God. And as I think back over my own life and all those years brought up under the sound of the gospel, found in the house of God, never departed from it. But do we know anything of this mourning spoken of here? Mourning over what? Mourning over our sins. Mourning over our sins. And my mind went, in meditation, it went to a hymn. And I don't know whether I've ever given it out or, I don't feel it as one that we would sing. The language is very deep, is it not, and solemn. It speaks of Christ, that hymn of hearts, 797. But it was the last two verses that seemed to remain with me. Well, you read the whole of that hymn, 797, at your leisure, but as I said, it's very profound language concerning Christ, the Lamb of God. But those last two verses, ye that assume his sacred name, now tell me, what can all this mean? What was it bruised God's harmless lamb? What was it pierced his soul but sin? Blush, Christian, blush. Let shame abound if sin affects thee not with woe. Whatever spirit be in thee found, the Spirit of Christ thou dost not know. How solemn if we should be found amongst those that may name the name of Christ. Ah, yes, have a form of godliness, but know nothing of that burden of sin. Or we look back over one's own life, and there was that many years, no knowledge of sin. Heard the name of Christ. Ah, yes, heard the name of Christ, and perhaps name the name of Christ. But ye that assume his sacred name, now tell me, what can all this mean? Yes, the verses that precede these last two verses regarding the sufferings of Christ. Now tell me, what can all this mean? What was it bruised God's harmless lamb? What was it pierced his soul but sin? Blush, Christian, blush. Let shame abound if sin affects thee not with woe. Whatever spirit be in thee found, the Spirit of Christ thou dost not know. How solemn if we're found amongst those that know nothing of the Spirit of Christ, and know nothing of the Spirit's work within. And what is the Spirit's work within? Will it not convince of sin, show the one his need? Ah, my mind went in the early hours of this morning, even as regards Christ. Well, unless there's that knowledge of sin, there's no need of a Saviour. And so there is no need of Christ. We may name the name of Christ, but have no need for him, no need of his of that which he hath accomplished in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary. But is that knowledge of sin? Yes, some have a greater knowledge of sin than others. Some we read of those accounts of old, and how they were brought down to great depths, even to the point where others looked upon them and wondered what was wrong, because of that burden of their sin had such an effect upon them. Where is that in our day? Speak to oneself, but where is that in our day? The burden of sin, the groaning under that burden of sin. Ah, as I said just now, unless there is that knowledge of sin made known to that poor one, they will never have any real need of Christ as their Saviour. Ah, that knowledge of sin. And some may say, well, don't like to hear too much of sin. Well, that is how it is in our day, is it not? Evil is called good, and good is called evil. So it is. As regards sin, it is not spoken of, perhaps, like it was years ago. But that doesn't change how it is before Almighty God. Ah, yes, that one thrice holy. Before that one thrice holy, sin is exceedingly sinful, and it will not be excused. Will not be passed over in that day of judgment. How stands the case, my soul, in that personal way? One, that we may stand up before the Lord, name his name. Yes, even go forth like one of old Judas. He preached, and none of the other disciples could tell the difference. He preached, but he was a castaway. He is a reprobate. He was not one of the Lord's people. Do we know what it is then to come, even as a psalmist in that Psalm 130? It must be so in measure. And that will bring one to feel they're in the depths. You may have troubles in time. And yes, we all have our troubles in time. So does the world. for the difference between the child of God in their troubles and the world in their troubles. The child of God is brought to feel the enormity of sin, his sins, his iniquities. And he was brought to feel like that. He's in the depths. He's in the depths of his iniquity. And so like the psalmist in Psalm 130, out of the depths, out of the depths. Oh, have you been brought to feel of that whereby, yes, sink in that mire of my own sin. You don't have to look at the sins of another or the sins of the world, but it's my own sin. The mire that I'm in, yes, I was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. Came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And it will come forth as a cry, because it's out of necessity, out of great necessity. Because when that one is brought to see and feel he's a sinner, it's not just before a man. Yes, you may say, well, I've sinned before this one and sinned before that one, and perhaps wronged another man. But all the poor sinner is brought to see this, even as David. Against thee only have I sinned. Yes, against thee, and against thee only have I sinned. It's against that one that is thrice holy. Against one that, yes, you read that. I know I've quoted it before. And perhaps quoted it before here, but you read that in Isaiah chapter 6, I believe it is, where the prophet Isaiah, yes, that vision he saw, it brought him to tremble. He saw one thrice holy. Thrice holy. And he brought him to tremble. And he was brought to this, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who, O Lord, who shall stand? Mark iniquities, your iniquities, my iniquities. Well, we have to confess, do we not? In love ourselves, we cannot stand. We cannot stand in that day of judgment. That condemnation rightly shall come upon us. In love ourselves, that is how it is. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We said, man doesn't want to hear about sin. That is the day in which we live. And that's our old nature. We don't want to hear about sin. We don't want to hear about our iniquities. We don't want to hear about the day of judgment. We don't want to hear about one thrice holy. But oh, if we shut our ears to these things, that day shall come, it shall come, when we shall see one, see one that is of pure eyes. And if we're found in that day still in our iniquities, or with our own self-righteousness, thinking we rest in that, shall it not be, depart from me. Ah, ye wicked, depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, shall it not be in that day, the solemnity of it, cast out of his sight, to all eternity, in that place where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. So he said, man doesn't want to hear these things in our day. Our old nature doesn't want to hear it. And if we stand up before and preach before people and we refuse to preach it likewise, shall I not be guilty of your blood in that day, or in that great and solemn day? If we've not warned, not spoken, but hidden part of the word of God, it's a solemn place we stand in. But yes, until that one is brought to mourn, he'd have no need of one. He'd have no need of one to comfort him. But blessed be God, what a mercy if we're found amongst those mourners. There is an appointed time. Blessed be God, there is an appointed time. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Oh, think upon that, poor sinner. This is the word of God. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And if I can find another word that came to my mind, not sure I'll be able to lay my eyes upon it, but oh, as I thought upon it again this morning, yes, and it was in Corinthians, the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in that fifth chapter. And the apostle, when he is brought to that knowledge of Christ, and brought to see that what he had before was no more than a filthy rag. But that knowledge of Christ, as he penned that epistle to the Corinthians in the second epistle and the fifth chapter, what did he say? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. And I believe that he knew what it was to tremble under a broken law. That law which he had broken, yes, a law that, yes, he kept the law of Moses. And he, as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, but he's brought to see that he was a transgressor of the law when the law was applied to him. When he's brought by the Spirit to see that he was a sinner, he knew the terror of the law and the terror of the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, by and through the law, the application of the law of God, which is holy, we persuade men, not that we can persuade men in and of ourselves, but under the preaching of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching, we plead that the Lord might by the Spirit, likewise, that there be that persuasion of men. It's not the preacher that can do it. It is by the power of the Spirit. And it's that one, reveals to a poor sinner his need and reveals to him Christ. And it is through the foolishness of preaching. Therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And so you read the rest of that chapter, the fifth chapter of the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. But as he concludes that chapter, he speaks like this. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray for you. And we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, you think upon that poor sinner. Knowing therefore, yes, we must all appear. Not some can escape it. But we must all appear, you and I. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Yes, in your opinion, you might think it's good. Ah, the apostle, he went about thinking he did God's service. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Ah, yes, that one that truly did condescend to come down to this low world. Ah, yes, taking upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, but made under the law. Made under the law. Think upon that poor sinner. Made under the law. We're under the law, but we're not sinless. We were conceived in sin, but one conceived spotless, pure and undefiled in the womb of Mary by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. But yes, made like unto his brethren, sin accepted. Why? To stand in their room, place, and stead. To stand in their room, place, and stead. Ah, to bear the sin of many. To bear the sin not of the whole world, yes. Some feel there is that and speak as if it's for the whole world, but it's the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That number that is, no man can number, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, it's a number that no man can number, yet a remnant of all mankind. But he came. Why? Because he loved them. For they are the church is the bride of Christ. And all that the Father given me, Christ said, did he not, shall come to me. And all what we read concerning Christ, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Lay down his life. And why did he lay down his life? Because he bore their sin. Bore the sin of many. Bore their sins. One that was spotless, pure and undefiled, but made sin for his people. He bore the sword of divine justice. I know I often refer to that precious portion in Zechariah, but what a precious portion it is. We read concerning that sword of divine justice. Yes, that sword of divine justice. And he bore it. And you read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah concerning the sufferings of Christ. But he did bear the sword of divine justice. And it satisfied the law. It satisfied the demands of the law in the sinner's room, place, and in his church's room, place, and stead. It satisfied the law entirely. It paid that account, their debt, the debt of their sin. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. And so it was. And so he did. But you read in the chapter prior to that one in Zechariah. Do we know anything of that there then? Whereby there's been that wrought in our hearts by the Spirit. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They have pierced in that personal way. Or to see their sins laid upon the Saviour, and to see one truly suffering in their room, place and stead. Ah, and when they see that one so suffering for them, not only will sin be exceedingly sinful, but they shall be found amongst those that mourn. Why? Because they see what it cost him. The Lord of life and glory, what it cost him to redeem them from the hand of the enemy and to save them from the wrath to come, and I will pour upon them so they will know that spirit of grace and supplication that will be given to them. That is by the Spirit. That is by the Spirit, that spirit of grace and supplications, and that comes back to this, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. It's no mock prayer. It will be by the from the very soul. The burden of the soul. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. But oh, did we not have something in that that hymn just now? Ah, yes, that hymn 947. Do you know the language of the hymn writer there? Does it not match in that way the language of the psalmist? Ah, great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with humble hope approach thy awful throne. All that little faith in exercise, that venturing by faith to plead the name of Christ and his sin atoning blood, that venturing by faith to plead the finished work, that which he hath accomplished. Oh, to see an empty tomb and an ascended Saviour. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with humble hope approach thy awful throne. Yes, that poor sinner, the Spirit revealing to them, one ascended on high as a glorious, their glorious high priest, one that has entered in through that rent veil with his own heart's blood. Ah, the precious atoning blood, sin atoning blood of the sacrifice, which was Christ. Ah, that blood. Oh, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Like it was in the days when the Passover was instituted, the blood was to be sprinkled, was it not, of the sacrifice, had to be sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels of their dwellings. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Or do you long to see, ah, that fountain? Yes, even as the hymn writer put it, regarding that malefactor, one that was wrought upon, yes, we know one, a perish in his sins, but one was wrought upon by the Spirit in those last moments of his life. The dying thief, the hymn writer put it, rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Oh, do you long to see and to feel the efficacy of that fountain? Oh, the efficacy of that fountain, owned for all sin and uncleanness. There is an appointed time, and it will be made known unto those mourners, It will be made known unto those mourners. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, your sins, the burden of your sins, all your iniquities, all that testifies against you, the broken law, the demand of the law. Approach thy awful throne, though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? To thee, who by a word my drooping soul canst cheer, and by thy spirit form thy glorious image there, my foes subdue, my fears dispel, I'll daily seek, for who can tell but all that sinner? The burden of sin, an eternity, their never dying soul. Ah, there is that appointed time when it shall be so. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Ah, when it is made known unto them, one that truly did conquer death, hell and the grave, has gained the victory. Ah, yes, and it's not through anything that you can do. Be brought to see this. Ah, one hath accomplished it all. Christ hath accomplished it all. Ah, yes, and it's made known to that poor sinner. And it is unto them when it is made known, that which seemed as ashes and heaviness, we read, do we not, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Yes, in that way where that poor one has felt there is no hope. And the old adversary says, yes, you'll find that adversary at your right hand to resist you. He says, well, you've sinned beyond the day of grace. Your iniquities, look how great they are. What a debt you owe. Ah, yes, ashes. But all to give unto them beautiful ashes. Well, when we think of that which the apostle penned and in his epistle to the Romans, you think upon that poor sinner. Perhaps you feel, well, the old adversary said, well, you've sinned so great and beyond the mercy even of the Lord. Look at the debt that you owe. Ah, yes. And he perhaps may point out this that he's tempted you to do, and you've done it. You've fallen under it and fallen into it. Oh, you read that as the apostle could declare when he penned that in his epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, I believe it is. Where sin abounded. You think of that, abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Or you think of some of those characters in the Word of God, Mary and Manasseh. Yes, those two characters without naming anymore. Ah, the abundant grace of God was made known unto them. Oh, yes. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Or when the Lord is pleased by the Spirit to pour in to that poor sinner, oh, that one that truly feels all his wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, cast out and by the wayside feels to be. And there, good Samaritan, he draws near.
In the day appointed, in that acceptable day, that time appointed, pours in the oil and wine of the gospel. Ah, Christ made known unto them in all his beauty, in all that he hath accomplished, ah, to save them from their sins. Yes, we, if I can find it just for a moment, but all oil, yes, that oil of the gospel. Oh, what do we read? What do we read in the epistle general of Peter, the close of the second chapter? But oh, you read the whole chapter at your leisure regarding those which were in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You read the closing verses of that chapter. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow, you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, speaking of Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, who by whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Ah, by whose stripes ye were healed. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Ah, yes, these blessings which are made known unto the poor sinner, and thereby and through that which Christ hath done. Yes, Christ is that greatest of preachers. And so he was in his day, and well, in that way still is, by the Spirit. That moving in the heart of the Lord's servants when they are moved to speak. But all is not confined to place or means or mode. The Lord can meet with a poor sinner by the Spirit, and Christ can be revealed to them. He does reveal Christ to them, show them his salvation. Ah, what a salvation it is. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. But ah, there's that waiting. You go back to that Psalm 130 again. That time appointed, yes. Wait on, poor sinner. Wait on, poor sinner. Don't let the devil tempt you to give up and no more call upon his name. Wait upon him. I believe the Spirit will enable you so to do. If it were not for the Spirit, we would give up. And likewise, perhaps you proved it so yourself. What has kept your soul alive? Is it not the Spirit moving within? Keeps you going again and again unto his footstool. Lord, remember me, a poor sinner. Have mercy upon me. The time of love will come, and thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me, tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. So there's that waiting. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Ah, no limit to the worst of sinners. Going back to that as regards what we're quoted out of Romans chapter 5. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. With him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities, all his iniquities, all his transgressions. Ah, that comes back to the finished work of Christ. Oh, may that be yet revealed to you, poor sinner. It is finished. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening in the chapel vestry at 7 o'clock. Mr. Mark Seymour is expected to preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper. And there are Gospel Standard magazines on the table at the back for those who haven't got them yet. Let us close with hymn number 1101. 1101. Jesus, lead me by thy power safe into the promised rest. Hide my soul within thy arms. Make me lean upon thy breast. Hymn 1101.
Not to rest upon anything short of Christ. Yea, Christ revealed our hope of glory. Oh, may we know a little of that sense of sin,
and our great need. And all may it please it by the Blessed Spirit, show unto us the beauties of Christ, and lead us into all truth as it is in Jesus. All that one that truly did satisfy the law in every jot and tittle, that one that truly did by the offering himself, or by the offering himself as a perfect sacrifice, that which was accomplished, which we shall never accomplish in of ourselves. And so we plead, lead us out of self and anything which is of self, but lead us unto thee. Lead us unto thee, that thou mightest be in that day when we shall have to appear before the judge of all the earth. We might be found amongst those, yes, unworthy sinners, the worst of sinners, the Marys and the Manassas, and even as the apostle declared of himself, of whom I am chief, sinners of whom I am chief. Might be found in that day clothed upon with that robe of Christ's righteousness, and washed in his sin atoning blood, bound up in that covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And so we plead to bless thy word, and lead us each forth by the right way, that we might go to that city of habitation, whose builder and maker is God. Pardon and forgive anything thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased to come up with us again this evening hour. We plead. Grant meditation and burden and exercise of soul in the interval. We might each come up with a living desire. Give me Christ, or else I die. And so we plead now for thy help and watch over us in the interval. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.